Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath to all of you. I'm glad I could be here today. And it's been a busy time for me, and I know it's probably been for you too. We had a really nice Thanksgiving. I hope you had one too. Linda's brother and his son and his daughter came over to our house for Thanksgiving. We didn't have to travel anywhere, which is kind of unusual. And it was nice to stay at home. And I hope that you had a really blessed time with your family and friends as well. Well, today I'd like to be able to start this message today with prayer. And I'd invite you to join me, if you will, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide us with your Spirit today as we look at your word. I pray that it would be a blessing to us. I pray that we can hear your voice actually speaking to us today. Encourage us with the message that we'll hear today. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look in the book of Philippians, you'll notice there that Paul uses the word rejoice a number of times. In fact, in the book of Philippians, he uses it 12 different times to rejoice about different things, but mostly about all of the privileges we have in being the children of God. And as Paul traveled from church to church, his converts were the crown and his joy. And he rejoiced in God that he had the privilege and the opportunity to be a minister for the Lord. And I know that it is a privilege that he has given me, and it's a privilege that he gives you to be a minister for him. Do you realize that? Rejoice in the Lord, friends. You're a minister for God. And he's called you to be a minister for him everywhere you go. Paul wanted his converts to follow him as he followed after Christ. And so as Paul went from church to church, he encouraged the people around him and those people that he had brought into the faith. In all of those churches that he raised up, Paul was encouraging them to follow the example that he set for them, that they would follow after Jesus. Now, I want you to look here in Colossians chapter 3. In chapter 3 of Colossians, it talks about this primitive godliness that God wants all of us to have. Before Jesus returns, we need to have this in our experience with the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, it says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." And I say amen to that. And I long for that day when Jesus will come back and take us to heaven, don't you? What a day of rejoicing that is going to be for all of us. Look now in verse 8. It says, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." And in verse 12 it says this, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which we know to be love, which is the bond of perfectness." And also in verse 15 through 17, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." You know, this peace that God wants to have in our hearts can only come when we know Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Isn't that true? And that's what Jesus came. That's what the angels came announcing when Jesus came to this earth the first time, was born as a baby in Bethlehem. They were announcing peace and goodwill toward all men. That's what they were saying to everybody who would listen that night before Jesus was born, announcing the birth of Christ, the Prince of Peace. In verse number 16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Do all in the name of Jesus. In word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, the WWJD, what would Jesus do? Do it all to his glory. Whatever we say, whatever we do, let it be for the glory of God. And in Psalm 19, I hope you're able to follow along today, and I'm going to try not to go too fast, so if you're using your electronic device, you can keep up with me. But if not, then you can always write these down and check them out at home. Psalms 19 and verse 14. It says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." This is what God is calling for us to do. In psalms, in hymns, in songs, everything's to be done to the glory of God. And we're to give this meditation of our heart as a worship to God. In the, back in Colossians, we see here in Colossians chapter 1, in Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 28, I'm sorry, in verse 26, it says, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." As Paul is calling everybody to have this kind of experience with Jesus Christ that would give them confidence that when Jesus comes back, they would have a place in heaven with him. I want to ask you today, friends, do you have that kind of confidence in your life? Those of you who are listening to this message today, do you have the confidence that when Jesus would return, you would be able to have a place with him in heaven? I have met so many people in my ministry that have been in the church for many years, and yet they lack that confidence to know that when Jesus returns, they would have a place with him in the kingdom. Listen, friends, you can have that confidence today. No matter how long you've been in the church, you can have confidence today that when Jesus returns, you can have a place with him in heaven. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13, it tells us those things, that we don't have to guess about that. We can have confidence in Christ because of what he has promised us. We can claim those promises for ourselves, that we can have that kind of assurance that when Jesus returns, we'll have a place with him in glory. He is that hope of glory for each one of us. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 4. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolishness, foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." And I think sometimes we spend too much time talking about too many worldly things and not enough time giving glory to God and not enough time praying to God. I don't know what it's like in your life, but if you're not starting your day with reading the Bible and praying to God and having some time for meditation, you're probably not going to have the blessing that you really desire. We need to start our day, every day, inviting Jesus Christ to come into our life. Many times people were in the church, and their experience with God over the years just kind of dwindles, gets kind of cold, and it's because they have done nothing to keep that experience going. If you're not spending time with Jesus in the Word on a daily basis, if you're not praying, if you're not witnessing, if you're not doing something for Jesus, friends, you can't keep your experience with Christ alive. You have to do something. There has to be something, because as we work for Jesus, friends, we get an experience of blessing from God. And that calls for all of us to do something for him. And if you're not speaking to him in prayer, what are you doing? Who are you talking to? You have to be able to say something to somebody around you about Jesus and what he has done for your life, but you first have to have that experience yourself. And you have to be able to read the scriptures so that you can give some kind of word of encouragement to others. And you know, if you look in the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, there's a process that happened there with Joshua. God spoke to Joshua, Joshua acknowledged what God had said, and then Joshua took those words and spoke them to the people as a blessing for them. Listen, friends, if we are not listening to God on a daily basis, what do we have to give to others? We have to be able to hear God speak to us through His Word so that we can share that thought with somebody else. God's people often turn away from Him. Sometimes they won't even listen to Him. And in Jeremiah chapter 8, in verses 22 and 21, hopefully you'll turn there with me. In Jeremiah chapter 8, Jeremiah chapter 8. Well, I hope you can forgive me for the coughing. I'm not sick that I know of. I mean, I don't feel sick, but I can't. I got this tickle in my lungs that just won't go away. In Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 21 and 22, it says, "For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black with astonishment. Astonishment hath taken hold of me. And is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" And you look in verse 20, it says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved." You know, Paul said that himself in Romans chapter 13, verse 11. He is rephrasing what was said here by Jeremiah the prophet. And I really believe that sometimes people won't listen to what we have to say. Sometimes people don't feel like they have to listen to what God is saying to them. And we need to put trust in God. And some people trust in themselves. Other people come into the church, they don't act any different after they've been in the church for 20, 30, 40 years than they did when they first came into the church. And it seems like the only thing that keeps them in the church is their friends and family. And I've seen over the years this process happen over and over, that as long as mom and dad's in the church, they're happy to come to church too. You let the parents die, the kids stop coming. And the same thing for friends. People are connected. They've gone to academy with their friends. They've grown up with their friends in the community. They come to the church, and when the friends leave, they do too. Listen, friends, we need to be connected to Jesus. Can you agree with that? Because your friends and your family are not going to take you to heaven. We need to be connected to Jesus because He's the one that's going to lead us there. And we need to be able to follow Him. We need to be able to follow Jesus. Revelation chapter 14, verse 4 says that they follow the Lamb wherever He goes. And I want to encourage you today to follow Jesus Christ wherever He is leading you. Be willing to follow Jesus, because someday He's going to come back and He's going to lead His people to heaven. And I would like to be in that group, and I hope that you are making plans for being there as well. We need to trust in Jesus. It's a sad statement, I think, that there are some people in the church that are saved, and some people have been in the church for years, and it's sad that some of them are going to be lost. I'm not the one who is going to make that judgment. It's not up to me. But I just know this. There are things that happen in people's lives that sometimes they're not honest about. And things go on that are different at home than they are at church. And sometimes people in the church for a long time, and the life they live at home is a lot different than the life they portray at church. And I think we need to be consistent in all that we do. Jesus was the same person yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And He was the same person no matter if He was under persecution from the people around Him, or if He was ministering to people out in a large congregation, or if He was with somebody privately in His home, or if He was on the top of Mount Olives praying all night long to His Father. He was the same person. He never changed. He didn't waver from following His Father. And I want to encourage you today, friends, that no matter how long you've been in the church, that you will be the same yesterday, today, and forever. That you will trust in Jesus Christ, and you will not let situations dictate to you and dictate your behavior. We cannot be people who allow situational ethics to model our life. And you understand what situational ethics are, right? That we let the situation determine how we act, how we live, how we talk. We need to allow Jesus Christ to do that through His Holy Spirit, not the situation. We need to trust in Jesus, friends. God wants every one of us in this room today to be saved. Everybody listening to my voice today, God is appealing to you. Whoever you are, no matter where you're at, God is appealing. He wants you to be ready for His return. And Jesus is calling for all of us to come to Him today and trust in Him and rely upon Him to help us to get through the difficult times that is coming upon this world. And unless we have a personal relationship with Jesus, friends, we're not going to be able to endure all the difficulties that are coming upon us. Everywhere we look, there's troubles, there's difficulties, tragedies, strike everywhere. I mean, just listen to the news and all of the things that are happening. It tells us that this world is coming to an end and that Jesus is coming soon. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to listen to His voice so that we can be prepared. Mercy, I've done meetings so many years in the ministry that I've been performing here in this conference. And there are so many people that have come into our churches and listened to our meetings. They've heard the truth from God's Word. They've seen it with their own eyes, and God's spoken to their heart. They've felt God's presence speaking to them personally. And yet, they would go back to the internet and see somebody said some opposing thing to the truth that they had heard at a meeting. Or they would talk to their pastor, and the pastor would tell, and I had this just recently, the pastor would tell them, don't go to that church because you're not supposed to go to any other church. You just come to ours. And so they stopped coming to church. They stopped listening to the seminar. And I've had people over the years that have come to the meetings and have heard the truth and seen it for themselves and felt God speaking to their heart personally, and yet they would resist that and turn away from it and rebel against it because their tradition said something different. Listen, friends, Jesus Himself taught that the people of His day were teaching for tradition the commandments of God. And I believe we need to throw tradition out. Tradition has no place unless it's good tradition in Jesus. And we need to follow Christ. And that way we will have the assurance of going to heaven with Him when He returns. You know, some people, they don't like what happens and congregations that they go to. And so they'll run to another church. And you see church hoppers all over the place. The people, they don't like what's happening in a church. So the church will split. They'll start a new church or new little group somewhere. And then they just seem to never be happy at anything. And I'm saying, hey, friends, let's trust in Jesus. Take our eyes off of each other. Let's look to Christ. Because Jesus is coming soon. He wants us to focus on Him. And if we're just looking at each other, we're going to find lots of problems. We're going to find difficulties and disappointments. That's just natural. We're human beings. We're faulty, sinful human beings. And if we look to each other for perfection, we're not going to find it. The only one that's going to give us that view of perfection is Jesus Christ. Can you agree with that? So let's keep our hearts, our minds focused on Jesus, because He's the one who is going to save us. We need to turn to Jesus and be saved. And I believe that that's what God wants for us to do. In Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 19, it says, behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. But Jesus is coming. Jesus will return. He has promised that He is coming again. It's easy for us to lose heart, to lose faith, to forget that Jesus has promised that He's going to return. Listen, friends, it doesn't matter if I'm alive or dead when Jesus comes. I have the promise, and so do you, that there is a resurrection. Amen. Jesus is coming again. And all those who have gone to sleep trusting in Jesus will see Him face to face. Be faithful to the end. And we will see Jesus return to take us back to heaven. We need to look to the cross, friends, at the dying Savior that died for each one of us so that you and I could go to heaven. We need to follow Him. We need to imitate His life in our life. And the only way we can imitate Him is if we study what He was like. And so if you're not spending time in Bible study and prayerfully asking for the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and understanding of the Word, how could you possibly discern the truth and know what Jesus is like unless you are actually studying Him? It's important for us to do that. We need to look to Jesus. Jesus is coming soon. And I remember years ago, Linda and I lived in southwestern Ohio, east of Cincinnati, and we lived out in the country. Linda's house was about four houses down from mine. We grew up together. We used to play in my backyard. My dad, years ago, had built a little barn-type shed because we had a milk cow. And I remember we used to play back there a lot. And I had a dream one night about that portion of our property where that little shed was at, that little barn my dad had built. And I remember we were up on the roof of that little shed, and it felt like the earth was shaking. It felt like in that dream that little building was starting to shake and move around. And we were on that, and we were scared to death, and we looked up, and we could see the clouds starting to part open, and Jesus was coming back with all the holy angels. You know, that disturbed me in my soul. Was I going to be ready when Jesus come back? Would I be ready to meet him when he comes back to take his people to heaven? And what about you today, friends? Are you going to be ready when Jesus comes to take his people home? Is there something in your life today that would stop you from going to heaven with Jesus when he returns? Look with me here in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 35, verses 8 through 10. In Isaiah chapter 35, beginning at verse 8, it says this: "And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up there on it. It shall be not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It's going to be a day of happiness and joy, friends, when Jesus comes back and takes us to heaven. All of this sadness, all of this trouble, all of these difficulties that we see surrounding us that sometimes pervade our life, those things are all going to be gone. There's coming a day when Jesus is going to come back. He's going to fix everything the devil has broken in your life and mine. And what a day of rejoicing that's going to be, friends, when Jesus comes back to take his people home. I long for that day. I look forward to it. I hope that someday Jesus will come. And I remember talking to someone just recently who is struggling with cancer. And every time they get over one thing, something else crops up. And it just seems like every time they think they're getting their strength back, something else hits them and they get drugged down again. And I started talking to them about the resurrection and the coming of Jesus, and they started to cry, because it is a reality, friends, for many people who are facing these end-of-life issues. Are we going to be ready to meet Jesus or not? And we never know when that end-of-life issue is going to be for any one of us here, no matter what our age. It could happen at any time, anywhere. We just need to be prepared. We need to be ready. No matter where we're at, no matter what is taking place, we need to be ready to meet Jesus. Listen to this. In Isaiah chapter 48, beginning at verse number 12, it says here in Isaiah chapter 48, beginning at verse 12, it says, "Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called, I am he. I am the first, I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. All ye, assemble yourselves and hear. Which among them hath declared these things? The Lord hath loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I even I have spoken, yea, I have called him, and I have brought him. And he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me. Hear ye this. I have not spoken in the secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. And thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like a gravel of thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans with a voice of singing, declare ye, tell this, utter it even unto the end of the earth, and say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts, and he caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. God came promising peace to all those who would follow him. And when Jesus comes back, friends, when the roll is called up yonder, the question is, will you be there? Will you be there? When the trumpet sounds and Jesus calls the dead to rise first out of their graves, to be caught up into the clouds with him, will you be there? When Jesus walks on that in that city, through the gates and down that street of gold and across the sea of glass, will you be there? Will you be at that great supper feast that Jesus is preparing for all those who love him? Will you be there? When the roll is called up yonder, friends, will you be there? If you want to be there when Jesus comes, I'd invite you to stand with me today as we pray. Heavenly Father, you see the hearts of everyone here today listening to you speak to them. And I pray today, Lord, that you would encourage each one of us to follow you in truth and in spirit, and that you would strengthen each one of us in our resolve to follow you and be faithful. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the promise of his soon return. Help us to be ready, Lord. When the roll is called up yonder, we want to be there. And I thank you for that promise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take your hymnals and turn to page 216 when the roll is called up yonder. Shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when the chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and work is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us today. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who encourages us and draws us to Jesus. Thank you for Jesus, and I know at this time of the year when we're thinking about the birth of Christ, I pray, Lord, that he would live inside of each one of our hearts and lives, and we thank you for your promise of coming again. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.